If you guys been with our church for a while, you know that I would teach, the subject is that a husband ought to lead, okay? Now, do most Christians today in America agree with this subject?
Probably not.
Yeah, some would be like, oh, let's be egalitarian. Now, I do believe a man and woman are both equal, but the roles are different, okay? Like, I think everyone is equal, like for instance in the government, is equal before the law, right? For instance, when the president votes, does he have more than one vote? No, he has one vote just like you and I, so it's equal. But his role is different, yes? Okay. Yeah. His role is very different, what he has to do as a citizen then, versus you and I. Does that make sense? So in the same way also as well, I believe the Bible teaches that men and women are equal, but that doesn't mean our role is the same. What we do might be a bit different, or not might be. It is going to be different, okay? Today we're going to look at the subject about a man who leads, okay? And we're going to look at this, what does it mean for a man to be the head of his wife, okay? By the way, this could be done wrong also as well, okay? Some people think being a leader means what? So there's one extreme is thinking, okay, a man never leads the home, right? What's the other extreme? What's the other extreme?
Dictator.
Yeah, dictator, right? Okay. So that we don't want that either, okay? So there's been studies that's been done with this area. I would actually say sometimes, because people actually wonder, like, hey, is Christian marriage a good thing? Like, you know, people look at divorce rate, happiness, not that happiness is the main metric, or joy, right? And you know one of the things that, you know, people done these studies are secular people. Some of them want to discredit Christianity, right? But I would actually say they would wonder, like, oh, if you hold this view, would it be abusive, right, relationship? And overall, they find that if you hold this view, not necessarily is abusive, okay? But they discover the ones that tend to be most abusive are actually not regular non-Christians. Is those that kind of know what the Bible says about leadership, but they don't walk with God. Like, there's no fruit of the Spirit in their life, right? Like, there's no, they don't go to church regularly, for instance, that kind of thing. Those people, I think, the studies show that they're most abusive. You know why? I think the explanation is they know enough what the Bible says, but they don't have the grace of God to be able to obey. Does that make sense? And to do it in a servant-like way. Today, we're going to be looking at these, if you guys are looking with the outline, we're going to be answering three questions. How many questions? Three, okay. We're going to look at, are there verses that teach on biblical leadership of the husband, okay? We're going to look at that, like, does the Bible teach that, okay? Yeah. By the way, I would also say, if you're, you know, I know we have a lot of men tonight here, never be in a relationship where a woman does not believe in this, what we teach about a man being a leader. Because you know why? What's going to end up happening? Is there's going to be a lot of what? Conflict, because it goes against God's design, okay? So if that person right away say, I'm a feminist or whatever else, then that's to say, hey, no go, right? You don't want to go down that road, okay? With that. So are there verses that teach on... By the way, feminism is not the same thing as believing women having rights, that kind of thing. It's different than women's movement in history, okay? Second question we're going to ask is, what does a husband's biblical leadership look like? What does a husband's biblical leadership look like, okay? And then thirdly is, what are the application for everyone of a husband's biblical leadership? The third part, we're going to apply this, because I know we're going to talk about husband leading, but that has application for women who are married too. That has application for those who are single men and single women also as well. So the third part, we're going to be talking about that, okay? So first, I want to define what I mean by biblical husband leadership, okay? If you guys see that first letter C, you guys see letter C? You want to read that for me, Josh?
Letter C?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It says biblical headship.
Leadership. Biblical husband leadership defines biblical headship for the husband is the divine calling to take primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership, protection, and provision in the home.
Okay. Of all the definitions out there, I think John Piper here gives one of the best definitions, okay? So what biblical headship is the idea where the husband is called by God, okay? This is what God requires of him. That he's the primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership, okay? So when he leads, he's supposed to be served like what? Christ. Not like a little dictator, okay? Not like Pol Pot, but more like Christ, okay? And servant leadership, okay? It's not to say, hey, serve me, serve me, serve me, but it's what to what? Serve others, okay? And there's also protection and provision to the home. This is what John Piper said, okay? By the way, if you guys remember, I've done this before about a year ago, but this outline has actually been tremendously improved since we first began, okay? Tremendously improved since we first began. So question number one, we want to ask a question. Hey, girl. Abigail and Hannah, could you guys stop making noise? So the first question I want to ask, are there verses that teach on biblical leadership of the husband? Okay, so this is what the Bible actually teaches about the headship, leadership.
1 Corinthians 11:3.
Yeah, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11:3. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11:3. Abigail, go mama. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians 11:3. Go ahead, Josh, you can read it.
But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of every woman. And God is head of Christ.
Okay. So, does this verse show that a husband is supposed to lead? What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. I think that's pretty clear.
Command.
See it? Yeah, chain of command. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so there is that, right? There's an order, okay? By the way, some people say it's cultural. Some people would say this is cultural. But I would say this is not cultural. You know why I would say it's not cultural? Because some people say, oh, when it says that Christ is the man is the head of a woman, they say, oh no, Paul is just bigoted. That's just his culture in the Mediterranean world. But you know why I would say it's not cultural is this. If you look at verses 3, is Christ the head of every man? In every place, in every time. Is that true? Yes, right? Or is it only cultural? It was more than culture, right? It transcends culture, okay? That's just God's created order, okay? So we would not say that first part is cultural. But then if you look at the third line, do you guys see the third line? What does it say? God is the head of what? Christ, okay? Is God the Father the head of Christ?
Yes.
Is that cultural? That is not cultural, right? I would even say that even before his incarnation, he was submitting. And during his incarnation, and even afterward, okay? Even right now, he's still under the Father. But he's equal with the Father. Does that make sense? Both are equal in nature, but their role is different, okay? So sometimes people say things to me like, oh, especially PCC evangelism, people say, oh, you know what? I don't like your view. When you say men and women have different roles, you already say that one is unequal. But no, if you look at the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all what? Equal in nature. But does the Holy Spirit do the same thing like Christ? No, right? Who died for us? Which one of the members of the Trinity died for us?
Christ.
Is it God the Father?
No.
No, okay. Does the Son submit to the Father willingly and obediently? Yeah, even to the point of death. Because he loves us, okay? And because the Father loves us, he predestined Christ to die for the elect and that kind of thing.
But
too.
The Spirit also submits to the Father.
Yeah, he does. He goes where the Father wants him to go. And he also is submitting unto Christ because he glorified Christ. Because the Holy Spirit.
Does Christ submit to the Spirit?
Yes, he did when he was on earth in his first coming, but not anymore. Because now he sends the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians 11:3 shows here it's not cultural. Because we would not say any of those other two is cultural. So, in light of all this context, it's talking, this is God's created order. Okay? Let's turn to Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23. You guys turn over there. Ephesians 5:23. Could I have someone read me Ephesians 5:23? Someone besides Josh.
Where the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body.
Okay, in the context, Paul is talking about marriage in this chapter, right? This passage is clear, the husband is the head of the wife, okay? So even before the fall, I think God's design was always for marriage to have the men lead, okay? Turn with me to Genesis 2:18-23. It's going to be a longer section. Let's go all around each one verse per individual, okay? 2:18 to 23. We'll begin with Phil, and then we'll go around. Phil, Caleb, Dal, Josh, Anthony, and Peter. Yeah, Genesis 2, verses 18. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18.
Okay, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a proper fit for him.
Outfit round, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name.
So man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found.
So the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place.
The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man.
The woman said, this is not woman my bone, the flesh of my flesh, this shall become woman, which is the man of man.
Okay. Yeah, so I think even in, this is by the way, before the fall, this was God created order, right, what he intended it. I think already you see there was a sense where man is the head and the leader. Because who was made for who? Was it, man was invented for woman? No, it's woman for man, right? That's 18 and 19. Note also the woman is the helper of her husband, right? And woman came after man, too, verses 21 and 22. And by the way, Paul would use this argument, 1 Timothy 2, 12 through 13, later to say, oh, husband, or wives are to submit to husbands because of that. Or the role of, even in the church, okay, of why there's no woman leaders in the sense of over men, okay? Woman was brought from man, okay, or made from man, that's verses 21 to 22, from man's what? Man's what?
Rib,
okay? And woman was brought to man, was brought forth to man, right? Instead of him going towards her, right? And usually scripture, often when you name somebody, you show an authority by naming over, right? For instance, when you have a child, who names the child? The one that has authority, the parents, okay? Very good, okay? So who named the animals? Thank you. Who named the animals?
Man.
Yeah, man, okay. Who named Eve? Eve. Adam, right? Okay. And who named man? Man. It's God, okay? So that shows the leadership. So the fact that a woman was named by the man, okay?
Did God say man, like that guy, he came with the name Adam? Because
mm-hmm.
he didn't like name himself Adam, right?
I think it's God. By the way, the name Adam means man, okay? There's actually more than one word for man, but that is one of the title, okay? I think the root word has to do with red, like red clay, okay? Why would that be the case? Because originally he was made from what? What was man originally made from?
Dirt,
okay. So with that, okay? So the New Testament applies it also as well. So I know for those that just came in with Caleb and Jin, we're looking at biblical leadership. We're saying that this is going to be our last part of our series with this, okay? And by the way, if you guys been to TCAC before last year, we've done a whole series on even marriage and stuff on Sunday. And all those verses that talk about wives submitting also affirm a biblical leadership of men, right? That's the other side of it, okay, logically speaking, okay? So I think the second question is, what does a husband's biblical leadership look like, okay? What does it look like? I think this part is important. All the verses thus far are not verses to go and beat someone in the head with, okay? But rather, if you know this is the case, you ask the question, is what does a biblical headship look like? So the next part, I'm going to be going over what does it look like, and also say what does it not look like, okay? Because I want it to be very clear, to say this is what it's supposed to be and this is what it's not supposed to be. I think sometimes it's important to say what it's not supposed to be too, just in case people think, oh, I could do this, this is right, and then think, oh, if I do something wrong, then it's still okay, okay? What biblical leadership means, the husband leads out of love, okay? Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Turn with me to Ephesians 5 just for now. We'll look first at 23. We looked at early Ephesians 5:23 that says the husband's supposed to lead, okay? But yet, if you look at the rest of Ephesians 5, we're going to see that, yes, Ephesians 5, Paul says husband's supposed to lead. But notice what Paul's going to say is the kind of motivation husbands are supposed to have when they lead, okay? If you look from 25 to 33, do you see a word that repeats a lot? What are some words you see repeats a lot? I'm just raising that question for you guys. Just look at it real quick. We can take a little bit of time. Ephesians 25 to 33. Is there a word that repeats quite a lot here?
Love.
Yeah. Okay, love repeats quite a lot. So what does biblical leadership means is that a husband, his motivation to lead is out of love, okay? Look at how many times it mentioned love. Look at verse 25. It says, husband, love your wives, okay? Just as Christ also loved the church. So the first command of love your wives, okay? Then look with me again at verse 28. Can someone read me verse 28? Just the first part. Sorry, I tell you when to stop.
Josh, well, husbands ought to love their own wives.
Stop there, okay? We'll stop there real quick. So notice again it says the word love, right? As what? Now as a comparison to their own bodies. So for the second time you see love your wives mentioned. Go ahead, keep going. Josh, until I tell you when to stop.
He loves his own wife, loves himself.
Stop, okay? Notice the second half says he loves his own wife, okay? So the third time that's mentioned. Then if you look with me again at verse 33. Guys, look with me in verses 33. Josh, could you read that again?
Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband.
Okay, so for the fourth time in verses 33 says he ought to love his own wife, okay? So four times. So the main motivation for why we lead is out of what? Out of love, okay? Have you guys ever recently been involved with anything where you might be put in a leadership position? Have you ever, like even maybe at work, you've been to take care of somebody, whatever else. Have you ever done it out of love, right? For me, I feel most intense emotionally. For me, it was in terms of leading out of love, besides ministry, was actually probably the Marines. You know, I know Jen is here, Anthony's here, right? I felt genuinely why my desire to do things was actually because I really care about the Marines, about the guys that I'm with, like my peers and those below, okay? And I think that's a good place to begin. Sometimes, and we'll talk about later in the application, is wherever God has put you in, God has called you to love. You want to know the best way to prepare to be a husband that leads loving your wife, loving leadership, is practice it everywhere else in your life, okay? Like I say this all the time, the thing that prepared me the most for marriage is actually the church. Loving a difficult church, right? With special needs, with everything else, with very big sinners. And then discovering, hey, I am just like that too, right? And then discovering God's grace upon my life, and therefore be motivated. So that when it comes to marriage, that, wow, this is actually an easier thing. You know, being with Nancy is easier than being with the church when you're dealing with difficult. So I think when that view should change our view when we see hardship. I'm not saying sometimes at work, it doesn't mean you don't move on in certain cases, but you've seen God's sovereignty while you're there. God should be pruning you, and you should be conscious of growing in leading out of love. Okay? Note the extent that God wants a husband to love. If you look back in verses 25, the comparison of husband loving your wife is to Christ loving what? The church, right? How much did Christ love the church? A lot. Yeah, he gave his life as it goes on, right? He loved the church a lot. He died for the church, okay? I think it is biblical for husbands to think about whether or not they'll die for their wife. I do think about that often. I'll be honest, some days it's hard to think of the idea of dying for anyone. But there's some days like, okay, no, I know what is right, and because I love my wife, I'm willing to die for that. Okay? But I also think it's biblical to even love the church so much you're willing to die for it. Oh yeah, if you look at me in 3 John another time, okay? But it just talks the point of that extent too, okay?
I think John, during the Sunday service, didn't Andrew Chu say that? And then like, a lot of everybody else were like, kind of looking at like their reaction.
Yeah, I don't know. Andrew says a lot of things.
Like dying for Cindy or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay. Andrew says a lot of crazy things that are biblical. Okay. He's kind of, you can't really domesticate him like the Word of God. Okay. But let's go back on with that. Okay. The extent of his love, right, is Christ loving the church. Okay. Look again with me in verses 28. We are to love. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, okay? Some of us love our bodies a lot, yes? You know, we want to look nice, you pass by a mirror, you're looking once, you're checking list twice, right? Your hair, whatever else, right? To make sure everything is good, okay? Right? People love their own bodies, right? Like, man, my daughters, whenever I have this phone, for the Bible study, whenever they see Google Chat, what do they always do? They want to go see themselves, right? Whenever my little daughters pass by a mirror, what do? They want to look at the mirror, okay? That's built in, okay? So we love our own bodies, but here Scripture says, husbands are to love their wives as their own, what? Bodies, in verses 28. Okay, that's a big call, okay? Even verse 33, even as himself, okay? So that's what servant leadership looks like, okay? Servant leadership looks like, okay? What biblical leadership does not mean is this, being a leader for one's own advantage. Have you guys ever known leaders? They use leadership is only to protect themselves from being blamed or whatever else, right? The whole leadership is the whole exercise of blaming others rather than actually leading, okay? Because it's all about themselves, okay? So if it's about love, it ought to be denied that if he loves his wife, he would put her well-being before himself. Therefore, there's no room for a leader being to benefit his own first, okay? My wife and I, we like watching old movies. Last night, we finished watching an old movie with Humphrey Bogart called Caine Mutiny. And it's actually about the story about this Navy officer. The captain is in charge of a ship. And he looks over, when I was looking at him, I said, man, I could see so much Marine Corps analogy. So the captain is about himself, okay? So one time, they had ice cream, and this is like in World War II. They had ice cream, strawberry sherbet ice cream, and he was like, hey, how come it's out? They only had 1 gallon. Because he wanted some extra ice cream, and he had the most. He said, oh, some of them must have ate it all, sneaked to eat it all. So then he turned the ship upside down to find out who is it doing the investigation. Then he says, oh, I bet you someone has a key to go through that. So then they are looking for this key that supposedly exists, but really doesn't, okay? And then eventually there's a court martial because someone had to take over the ship. They had to do a mutiny because the guy was hurting everyone else. They basically stopped him. And then, of course, when they went back, the Navy tried went to court for the officer, the second commander, took over when he was not supposed to. But then the ship, the whole story, I think, was so amazing. It's a story about, A, leadership and responsibility. Hero was the one that's willing to go to jail for the rest of his life, even possibly hang, because this is World War II time, right? Willing to hang if it means protecting the rest of the lives of his men, okay? When it's foolishness, okay? And versus someone that's for selfishness. And brothers and sisters, that ought not to be, okay? Servant leadership is not about our own advantage, okay? Is when you're leading in the front with a grunt, you're leading to be able to lead and go through rough experiences, okay? For the best of your wife, okay? Let's go to the third point. What does biblical ship mean also? Biblical leadership or headship means the husband leads to serve his wife or family. Turn with me now to Luke 22, verses 26. Luke 22, verses 26.
Luke 22. But it is not this way with you, but the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest and the leader like the servant.
Okay. I like this part where it says the leader is like the servant, right? Even says the oldest, greatest among you is to be like the youngest, right? We must never forget that in ancient Near East culture, where Israel takes place, it was much more hierarchical, okay? Sometimes going overseas, I realize, wow, you know, America is not really that hierarchical, right? Other places like, wow, if you're younger, you know, I'm being the guest. If I don't eat, wow, nobody eats, right? And I say, no, eat. I just need to finish. I say, oh, I got to go eat first, right? Otherwise, everyone is just wait. The youngest serve the older, right? And you know, we kind of have this sometimes when we have potluck. I mean, not potluck. When we go to dim sum as a church once in a long blue moon, what do? The tea, right? It's supposed to be, in Chinese culture, the youngest pour the tea, yes?
Yes.
Okay. But if we do it as a church, the youngest does not serve the tea necessarily. It's your pastor pouring the tea, okay? Those are the guys, okay? So the idea is, I know symbolic gesture there, but I think it's important to realize a husband is, when he's a leader, is actually to increase his ability to serve, okay? If you really think about it, the reason why anyone climbed in leadership is now is basically an acknowledgement to say, hey, this guy is a good servant, but now let's increase the amount of ways he can serve, okay? Increase the amount of ways he can serve, okay? So it's to serve is really why he's there, okay? Godly headship is servant leadership. And therefore, in Christian leadership, there's a mark of what? Humility, okay? I need to say this again. Christian godly leadership, there's a mark of what? Humility, okay? I feel as I grow older, as I read things with ministry, I think I'm more drawn actually more to Mark Deaver. You guys know who Mark Deaver is? Pastor Mark Deaver? Even more than John MacArthur, okay? Now, I owe a lot to John MacArthur, you know? Back when I was 15, when I first listened to the radio, hearing the radio getting saved was John MacArthur and Dr. Montoya, okay? Those preachers. So I owe a lot, even my salvation, okay? But at the same time, if you go to Master Seminary, you see how his office is like, it could be almost presidential, okay? He has his bodyguards and everything else. But why I like Mark Deaver, it's his leadership. When they sit down together as servant leadership, right? He's open to critique, and he models that well, okay? By the way, if you notice, servant leading, that's what we do, right? There's a place for constructive criticism. Why? Because we must not let our ego go first. There's no place for narcissism in Christian leadership because we want to do things well, right? That's why we need each other, okay? We need each other to grow, okay, with that. So it means it's to serve the other spouse. So there's a mark of humility because we won't do it well, especially when someone's newly married. Of course, everyone's learning everything. It's all new, okay? So there got to be a big sense of humility, which goes against the grain. Most people today marry for what? Sometimes people marry for pride, right? To say, hey, I look at me, look at the trophy wife that I have, right? You know, look at this, look, I actually got married, unlike you, or whatever else, sometimes, or just, maybe unlike you, they're like, everyone else does it, oh, I need it too, because just because everyone else has it, right? I'm not saying everyone, but that is a big streak, a dimension that's in people's motivation sometimes. But if you look at Scripture, it goes against that. It ought to be a mark of humility. So let's go over what does biblical leadership does not mean. It does not mean being a tyrannical leader. Look with me. Remember verse 26, a leader must be servant. Look with me in verse 25. Are you guys still with me in Luke 22? Verse 25. Okay. Could I have another volunteer besides Jim? Luke 22, verse 25.
He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors."
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, this is pretty crazy, okay? Verses 25. Here it says what? Jesus knows, man. He knows the way that rulers of the Gentiles and most people, and even Israel history, oftentimes people, why they want to be first, why they want to be a leader is what? They want to lord over others, control others, okay? And then notice the part says, they also, those who have authority, they're often called what? Benefactors. Because why? They enjoy benefits, okay? They enjoy benefits. Are there a lot of people that enter politics with these desires? Yeah, you bet you, okay? But Scripture says this ought not to be, okay? This ought not to be, okay? But it's supposed to, you know, the purpose is that's ought not to be, okay? I think, by the way, that's a mark of also myself in terms of looking for someone that wants to be a pastor or someone that wants to be married. It's one of the things we do engage with biblical counseling, premarital counseling. So you want to look at that part, not to be judgmental, but I would point out, hey, if there is that issue, that needs to be realized, okay? If you're really putting yourself first, okay? I mean, we all work at work in the secular world before, at one time or another, right? Sometimes people love to be supervisors just because they like to what? Boss people over, right? And sometimes those are, you can see them a mile away. You don't have to be that smart to realize, hey, this guy just likes to lord over someone. And nobody likes that. Everyone tries to avoid that, right? Think about how miserable it is when the guy's about his pride, right? Okay? When it's about, then he'll become a tyrannical leader, okay? And Jesus says, but it is not this way with you. Thus, even in marriage, there's no place for a tyrant, okay? What biblical leadership means? Point five, Roman numeral five, living and leading with understanding of one's wife. Okay, so there needs to be understanding too. Okay, true understanding, not just a presumption. Okay, there's a difference between presumption and true understanding. You know what's the difference? Is one asks a lot of questions. Okay, not just say, "Oh, I know you already. I don't need to ask questions." Sometimes people think marriage means, "Oh, we communicate well," or you have to know somebody fully. I like what Nancy a few weeks ago was personal conversation is. So there's so many times we assume that, oh, relationship well if the other person knows me. But the reality is you would never know somebody automatically. That's not what the Bible says. Oh, it's a good marriage only if you guys automatically know each other. No. It's when you know sometimes by communicating, by asking. Right? Do you remember? We talked about this? Oh, okay. I thought it was so profound. I was like, wow, Nancy, that was a really profound point, okay? But by the way, the reason why I'm proud Nancy doesn't remember is we actually talk about marriage a lot, okay? We communicate a lot. When things are well, we communicate a lot, okay? When things are not well, we should be communicating a lot still too, okay? But sometimes communicating a lot is preventative. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's important to realize. It's living with understanding of wife, okay? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter... Oh, no, I think I wrote it wrong. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me correct this. Should be 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay? Verses 7. For the sake of time, I'm going to zoom in to 1 Peter 7. First Peter 3, verses 7. Anthony, would you be able to read that, big boy voice?
Sure. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered.
Yeah, notice this verse here. By the way, in chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, it's talking about marriage, okay? It does begin, the verses 1 to 6, talking about wives obey, okay? By the way, this part, I remember back in UCLA when I used to teach this, I one time asked all the sisters at church, "Hey, would you ever call your husband Lord?" Like, they're like, "Wow, what kind of crazy patriarchal thing are you talking about? Now, we believe in biblical leadership, but, like, what are you talking about, Jimmy? That sounds too crazy." So then I just asked, "Okay, Julie," my sister's like, "Okay, Julie, Jean, okay, I guess you really don't like this." Then I asked other people. Do you remember this, Nancy? I asked you even also as well. Like, would you call me Lord? Like, The answer is like, no. So I asked Wendy, would you ever call your husband Lord? And she's like, no. Then I asked the pastor's wife back then, Andrew's wife, Cindy, would you ever call your husband Lord? He's like, no. What are you talking about, okay? Then I say, hey, but it's biblical. They're like, no. Look at verse 6, right? Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you also become her children if you do what is right, being frightened by any fear, okay? So, with that, okay? Now, Lord does not mean their God, okay? But by the way, back then, it also kind of means sir at times in certain contexts, okay? Or master. I almost want to use this joke with Sarah and Aaron. But anyway, that's another time, okay? But here, we say that, you know, there's a sense of submission, okay? There's a sense of submission. Now, my wife does not call me Lord, I think. My personal thing, I think it'll be kind of weird in our context, okay? But I think there's the idea of submission, the main point. Don't miss the main point, okay? By the way, you could call people sir, a sir, in a very what?
Condescending way,
right? I remember when we were in the Marines, General Francis Lopez, times when officers want to do something, hey, sir, but then he says it with a smile, it's like, oh, it's almost like, you know, but he knows the troops all behind him, right? And it's like, oh, wow, that sir has a role, a little bit of R, okay? With that. So here, verses 7, right? Husband, we are to lead in a way of understanding, okay? Just because you're leading, actually we'll talk about it more later on, but here, at least for now, we want to say that a husband leading means you must live with understanding with her. So how do you understand somebody? You don't understand anybody, but just by observing them, that's important too. But more, including of observations, you need to what? Ask. Listen. Very good. Yeah. Listen, okay? For a couples meeting this last month, we are going over, the next 3 months, we're going to go over a biblical view of communication. And I ask people in the beginning, like, okay, what do you think we'll cover for today, the first part? They're like, people are like, oh, talk nicely, everything else. But the very first lesson is what? Is listening, okay? True communication is a two-way street, okay? The first part is listening, okay? So if you are interested in that, we'll eventually load that in sermon audio in a few weeks when I finally get around, because I'm way behind on loading things, okay? So here in verses 7, here it makes it very clear, husbands are to live in understand ways, so that means asking a lot of questions to really know her and understand. And when you discover weakness in her, you realize, okay, that's fine. That's part of life. You also have weakness, okay? But live in a way that you're living with her in an understanding way. By the way, this command is so serious. What does he say? God said, if you don't do this, what will happen to your prayer? In verses, you'll be hindered, okay? With that. So what biblical leadership does not mean, if you guys are following with me, point number 6, what does it say? What is point number, Roman numeral 6, what does it not mean? Is what?
You know it all.
You know it all, okay? So we need a little bit of understanding way. That means we have to realize, none of us are know-it-all, okay? I've been married with my wife 8 years, and I'm so surprised with things I learned from my wife. Like good surprise, okay? Like, so I think what we need to realize is we're not all static. We're dynamic, right? There's always something going on. We're growing also as well, okay? I think I'm a different person than 8 years ago when I first got married, okay, to be honest with you. I think I was a lot more immature, okay? But there's growth with that, okay? So you need to realize you don't know it all, so that means you have to ask. And by the way, sometimes you're realizing also your wife, just because you're leading doesn't mean you know it all, and therefore it's a good place of asking what question. Let's just say I don't know something, okay? There's a difference between leading, my wife leading me, or I'm leading. You know what's the difference? If I don't know something, and my wife knows it, and I'm leading, that means I'm going to take the initiative and go and ask, hey, honey, what's, you know, going on with X, Y, or Z, things she would know, right? Does that make sense? I'm not waiting for her to come and tell me all the time. Okay, does that make sense? So leading sometimes means taking initiative, okay? Doesn't mean you have it all together, doesn't mean you know it all, but you take the initiative, okay? I say, oh, okay, well, I don't know. Let me go ask my wife, because she would know about this more. Okay, does that make sense? It's sometimes the initiative. And now it's very different. I'm leading with that, right? The same thing like anything with job too, right? Your boss might not know the perspective of things, but if he never asks or she never asks, and assuming, then guess what happened? Everyone knows that they don't know, and it's going to affect things. But if that person comes and asks you, I think most of us would be pretty humble, we'll be glad, and we'll tell them more than that. So asking questions, does that necessarily mean you're not a leader, okay? If you're insecure about asking questions, that shows it's probably more driven by what? By pride, okay? By pride, okay? So let's go back on. You don't know it all. The point number 7, what biblical leadership means, the husband honor his wife. Okay? The husband honor his wife. Look with me in verses 7 again, the second half. It says, and show her what? Honor. as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers would not be hindered. Okay? Husbands are to honor your wife as a fellow. Now, I love this verse because it recognizes, in some sense, husbands might be stronger than their wife, because it says here, someone weaker in regards to the wife. But yet, at the same time, there's also equality, because it says fellow what? Heir. Okay? Co-heir of the grace of life. In other words, they're sharing in your walk with God together with you. Okay? And by the way, if you don't honor her, what does it say here? Verse 7. Your prayers will not be hindered. Okay? We must never forget God loved the oppressed. Okay? Don't think, oh, you're going to be oppressed and you could get away. But God says here, the prayer of those who do not honor their wife is going to be hindered. That's not what I say, but that's what the Word of God says. Okay? To reinforce this point, you know, I think that's important to realize you honor her. Okay? That means you speak what? Well, I love her. Okay? I think sometimes it's sad to see sometimes people, they get married after a while, and every time they talk about their wife, it's always putting down their wife. So sad, right? That is so sad. That is very, very sad. Like in front of others. People say, oh, your wife did this well. And like, no. You should see her at home. Or whatever, or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's a big part.
Go ahead, Ben. Yeah, oh, you're affirming.
Yeah,
that happens, right? Okay. But that ought not to be. You ought to honor her, okay? You ought to honor her. That means beginning with speaking well of her, okay? Speaking, but it's more than that too, okay? Is honoring her sometimes, it means also when I scoop ice cream for my wife, when she's not looking, do I scoop more for myself or do I scoop more for her, right? It's more for her as a way of honoring her, because what? Of all that she does, right? With that. So we honor her, okay? That means speaking well, and be very careful not speak. Now, there's a difference between, okay, I need help, biblical counseling, versus gossiping, telling everybody, and just with that, right? So that sometimes we do that because we're blinded what we're doing because of self-pity, that kind of thing, right? We're all prone to that because of our sinfulness. But let's honor our wife, okay? Honor our wife, okay? What biblical leadership does not mean you treat your wife badly, okay? How much more wicked it is if you do treat your wife badly. Let's go to the third question. How does the application look like for everyone of a husband's biblical leadership, okay? First application point is, first, everyone should realize the serious responsibility of husbands as leaders and the danger of bad leadership. We need to realize this is a very important thing we're talking about, okay? Why is that? A man who does not want to be a strong leader, according to the Bible, will fail his duty to be to his husband, to his wife and children, okay? Will fail, okay? By the way, leadership is this. When your wife or children fail, you've also failed, okay? You bear the responsibility, okay? Part of it is you probably didn't know. Part of it is also, it's just taking the responsibility, okay? With that, okay? A man who wants to be a strong leader beyond what the Bible teaches will be a tyrant, okay? Let's just say some don't want to live up to the biblical requirement. They're always short. Then they're going to be not the leader, right? They're still leading, but they're leading out of negligence, okay? The wife is stepping in, everything else. The house is ordered, everything else. But let's just say one wants to be a stronger leader than what the Bible says. Like, that becomes tyrannical, okay? Do you realize how serious this is the issue of leadership, okay? And the sad part is, of all the things we go over, I would actually say leadership is one of those traits that's so hard to teach, right? It's very hard to teach. Are there people that have MBAs, Masters in Business Administration, will make poor leaders?
Yes.
Yeah, okay? Have people gone to take leadership class, leadership summits, okay? We're really good leadership coach. And yet, to be honest with you, this is one of those things that's very, very hard to what? Teach, okay? That's why in terms of employment, when they're usually looking for a leader, it's not a time to train, because it's so hard. They're just going to have to hire someone that already has it together with that, okay? Because it's the hardest area of life to train. But by the way, for you and I, that should change in terms of even shape our application, even before you're married. That we see that anytime you have an opportunity to exercise leadership, that's an opportunity to exercise that for the purpose of even for marriage, okay, also as well, okay?
Leadership and temperament and experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would even say for me, I really live by the biblical principle, be faithful in what? Little? Mm-hmm. Faithful in much, okay? When you're faithful in little, there'll always be an opportunity where also in something needs arise, and they just go to someone faithful to fulfill this. So let's go for this first, going for this, for those who are not in a relationship, okay? I want to address those that are totally single, okay? Like single, like a single Pringle, okay? First thing I think for men, first in general, work on being a leader, okay? Work on being a leader. That means in high school, even in those that are in high school, I do encourage our boys, hey, go out there, it's okay to go out there and be a leader in something, okay? Even the Boy Scout, even one of our church kid, Hector, I asked, what do you do for the Boy Scout? Anything different? Oh, I'm the guy that prays. And then I have to talk to him, say, hey, do you really know Jesus Christ? Are you truly saved? He says, no, I don't really want to lead prayer. I was like, you know, with that. I was like, no, it's an opportunity. Okay, that's fine. But other things, to exercise leadership, right? With that, everything, opportunity, go with it, run with it, and practice with that, okay? By the way, I think there's also effect even the spiritual realm, right? If you notice a lot of these big preachers today, where are some big preachers today? John MacArthur, who else? Who's
Piper.
John Piper? Okay, anyone else? Any other big preachers you guys like? Da, who do you like? Any preachers you like?
No.
Steve Lawson?
No.
You don't like Steve Lawson?
No.
You don't like Steve? Okay, well, I like Steve Lawson, okay? So, Steve Lawson, there's all these preachers, okay? Paul Washer? You like Paul Washer?
No, Paul Washer, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Right? If you notice all these guys, actually, I would say that if you notice there's something about them, you know their history when they're young, they're actually athletic, okay? But they were just barely athletic. They're oftentimes they're what? The captain of the football team. Not only in high school, but in college. Like Steve Lawson, if you look at him, he kind of looks like a quarterback, right? John MacArthur, okay? Paul Washer is very athletic. But I'm not saying just athletic doesn't mean make you a leader. But sometimes God uses even the natural realm, too. But the spiritual realm must be first. So take every opportunity. By the way, I think every area of life is spiritual. If you do it with the heart motivation to do things well, to serve others well, out of love, and to be a light, a Christian light, you are doing it spiritually, okay? And God honors that, okay? So in general, work on being a leader. That means even if you're in school, if you're in a study group, you ought to be the one that's the leader, okay? With that, to take responsibility, okay? Be faithful with small things as training for the big things, okay? Do them well, okay? The fortunate thing is, you know, God gives us so much grace. He gives us whatever small thing we have, He knows exactly what we can handle right now. Do it well with the small things, okay? Don't be so caught up about where you're going to go. The best journey is important too, okay? The journey is important. I don't want to say this like a self-help kind of thing, but the journey is important because you're walking through God, growing through God, okay? It's not a self-centered thing, okay? But the journey is important because it's about us. But you know, it's about God. You're experiencing God's working through you of sanctification, okay? Your goal, grow to be someone, I think it's worth growing to be someone who will be a discipler. You guys know what I mean by discipler? Pointing to another younger man, okay? My life goal is this. Before 40, of course not perfect, but this isn't what it is. Before 40, I want to just pastor the small church, and I want to stay in the small church, and deal with every trouble case I could deal with, okay? That means the most weirdest person off the street, a homeless guy, whatever else, okay, I'll deal with you. You're a pedophile, come over here, I'll deal with you. We'll deal with it all because why? Because we're young. You learn with all of that. Does that make sense? All kinds of problems, deal with that. But as you're learning, by the time 40, I want to actually start discipling younger pastors, okay? Guys out of seminary. By the time I'm 60, I want to eventually, hopefully, write a book. But not like those young kids write a book, like, okay, just to write a book, okay? But now you're imparting beyond that. Does that make sense? And I'm ready, in my older 60s, ready to retire and ready to raise up men to take over. That's what I want, I desire. Now, would it work perfectly? No, okay? But realize right now, realize the Bible says what? The glory of a young man is what? His strength, okay? So when you're young, go ahead and do everything well. In every opportunity you're able to lead. Because, by the way, people are more forgiving when you're younger making mistakes of leadership than you're older, right? Think about it. If someone's 50 years old at work making a mistake, everyone's like, hey, you should have already had it together, right? So learn right now so that you eventually have what? Gray hair, okay? When I was in seminary, one of my professors said, Jimmy, you know you have this problem? You look very young. So then he just said, hey, grow some facial hair. I tried that and Andrew said, shave that, okay? You look like Francis Chan or whatever, okay? Now Andrew says, hey, grow that, look like Francis Chan. I was like, okay, Andrew. But then the other thing, I used to pray to God, give me gray hair. And you know what? God's finally answering. Give me gray hair. I just need to stop shaving my hair that much so people could be able to see that, okay? So all that is to say, with all this, go out there as young men, okay? Desire to be a discipler. Go find a younger man of God. By the way, when you go, the first thing you discover is if they reject you, that shows where you really are at, okay? Sometimes don't just say, oh, this guy's just unspiritual. He must not be a Christian. But if everybody you try to disciple turns out not to be Christian, that might be a problem with you in terms of spiritual growth. Okay, pointing to someone younger. Okay, so pour into that. The task is, and that's the opportunity to be a servant leader. Okay, I really do believe that the church prepared me more for marriage than anything else by loving a church, a small and difficult church, or small and quote unquote mundane or ordinary church. Because what I think that trains me to say, hey, I will love my wife through the thick and thin. Okay. With that. So take opportunity every time, okay? Set aside time regularly during the week to think about what you're doing, okay? Evaluating and planning. I think that's part of leadership. A lot of times, it's not something fancy. It's just being faithful, okay? Being faithful with the little things, okay? Being faithful with the little things. I just remember the point in our church when I first came to church, just being faithful with the little thing counts, okay? I think it counts a lot, okay? I remember 18 years old coming to our church. I was the only 18-year-old small group leader. Okay, everyone else was like 25, 27. Of course, everyone knew I was very young, so the pastor watched me like crazy, and was always like super suspicious. Not Andrew, there's another guy. But I think that speaks of how they became about was, okay, you start doing something, oh, this guy got disqualified. Sexual immorality. Well, we need somebody. Who are we going to find? Well, let's find someone that will be faithful in what we've seen thus far, okay? So, you know, whatever your destiny is, important, just be faithful. Just always be there. It's already being faithful, so make yourself available and also be teachable in growing with that, okay? Woman, internalize this conviction that you look for a man that will be a servant leader, okay? While you wait for a spouse, be sure to grow also and cultivate your virtue as a helper. Okay, that's the application for the woman part. Okay, and by the way, woman leadership is also important. Not to lead your husband, but what kind of leadership? In marriage, does my wife play? Well, my kids, okay? Does that make sense? They're leading my kids, okay? So even when my wife and I, before, I remember seeing Nancy, how she would always minister to the woman. That's, by the way, that's the story of how Nancy came in our church, right? It was back in the day when we had even less women than now. I would evangelize so much that suddenly some of these girls actually got saved. But some of these girls also had a lot of baggage, right? Like they confessed, like, weird sexual, but I don't need that. That's craziness. So I thought, oh, I'll go to Nancy because I saw this girl in our Christian club always ministering to the women, and she'll pick people up and everything. So start with that, okay? With that, you want to pick someone that is ministering, okay? To be not my leader, but to be leading my kids, because there'll be times I'll be out of the house, right, for weeks sometimes, whatever. But you want her to be able to lead the kids well, also as well. By the way, it's very important. I know in our world today, people sometimes have this crazy idea, even in the church. They say, dear God, give me a godly wife, but please, could she be a model, right? Or something like that, okay? Could she be super, super pretty, or whatever else? Can I say this? More than that, look for someone that could be the mother of your children, okay? Look for someone that could be the mother of your children. If it turns out what you're looking for is a trophy wife, that's just a good display to put on Instagram, and that's it. Instagram is just only for instant, okay? You're going to have to eat. She's going to have to feed you. She's going to cook and clean or something. Or you're going to be cooking and cleaning and everything else, right? So, or leading, you know, you're going to be leading the kids. You're going to play Mr. Mom. That ought not to be, okay? Let's go on now with the parents of those who are not yet married. Okay, let's go to the next, the part of the application of those not married. For parents of daughters, keep reminding and teaching daughters to look for spiritual leaders, okay? What happened? Is someone talking? Sorry. Online. Ben? I could barely hear you.
No, I wasn't there.
Okay, let's go back on, okay? So here, for the application of parents, I look at my daughters, and, you know, have I ever talked to them about marriage? Yeah, even this age already, right? While looking for a Christian, you know, of course, some of it, they're going to be more mature later on, right? But sons also raise them to be a leader, okay, to take responsibility, okay? For those who are courting, so this is talking about those men and women who are not yet married, but they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, okay? Ask yourself this question for men. Are there areas you can work on in leading the relationship? Okay? Are there areas you can work on leading? Okay? Make sure you are leading not just in relationship, but also display leadership trait in other spheres of your life as well, okay? Because some people could get super hyper emotional, happy in relationship, and they're like, oh, opening doors, right? But then as soon as they open the door for the girl to go into the church, they close the door on the other sisters about to come in, right? Nah, that'll have to be. They have to be like that as a gentleman in every area also, okay, to others, okay? I remember a long time ago, someone was like, hey, oh, Jimmy, there's no one in our church that I could marry. And I was working to emphasize that, hey, you also need to grow as a man. God be ready. And I told him, like, hey, why don't you walk sisters to the car? And why don't you open doors? And he says, Jimmy, I don't think anyone's pretty enough. And I was like, oh, wow. You don't get it, right? You don't get it. You don't get what I was trying to say. It's just being brotherly, okay? If you're opening doors only for the agenda because someone's pretty, I feel bad for you. What happens when your wife gets older? What if your wife has some major sickness? Because all of us will, you know, one day everyone, say this after me, everyone, let's say everyone.
Everyone.
Including myself.
Including myself.
We'll look funny one day. Okay?
Looks funny.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's true, okay? That's true. We need to know that, okay? You don't believe it? Go on Facebook of people you think that looks pretty. Facebook's the only place where you could go press forward and you go back. Facebook is the only place where you could go past and get all the way to the future. The rest of life you can never do that, okay? But if you go back, you see people change, okay? People change, okay? So for those in courtship, also, you don't just want to be emotional high while you're leading, okay? Because when you're married, when your guard is down, when your toughest day and darkest day and longest day of marriage happens, hey, quiet down. When you're very not spiritual, you're going to be who you really are. And if you really are the person that's worked on to be this way towards everyone else, and therefore, God's going to use that to lead you in your darkest day, okay? For women, evaluate the guy. You always want to ask the question, can he lead you, okay? If not, don't marry that person, okay? He could be cute, he could be funny, he could like whisper sweet nothings to you. But if you can't lead, it's time to find another person, okay? Make sure you also cultivate an attitude of submission in other areas of life, okay? By the way, sometimes people realize, oh yeah, I'll submit. But then... to the guy, because she likes the guy, okay? But then she doesn't submit anywhere else in life. She doesn't submit to her parents, especially her dad. She at school, she's not. That everything else, then guess what? That's going to be an issue. Does that make sense? Okay? Or church, right? Okay. By the way, that's the same also as well with guys. Sometimes girls, for some reason, maybe I'm speaking about bias. So I think sometimes young women could like the bad boy, right? If you put the bad boy there and the guy that's just like, he's, you know, 25 years old, he's working in a bank. But he's like respectable. He's like kind of like a pretty, he's kind of like a square. But then this guy has like personality, right? And he has, you know, and most girls will probably want the guy with the personality. More than the guy that will be able to take care of him. But then if the guy is a rebel everywhere he says, you know what? I have so many battle scars. Look at all my battle scars. I have more combat experience than Jim. That's when you realize, hey, this guy, you gotta watch that guy out, right? You know? If he got a purple heart and he haven't left the city, boy, you gotta be dangerous with this guy, okay? Because that guy's gonna be trouble, right? That guy's gonna be trouble because if he's saying everyone's all terrible, my boss, my parents, my dad, my boss, and also my church, all my pastor leaders, the one thing that's constant is him, okay? And he probably doesn't know how to submit. And that guy's gonna be very tyrannical to the young woman that he ends up marrying, okay? So we need to watch that out, okay? And then the parents also as well, for those in courtship, if the girl keep in forefront, you ask the question, if there's someone courting your daughter, you want to ask the guy, is he responsible overall? Does he show leadership, not just only with your daughter, but outside other areas too, especially areas of spiritual thing. Now remember, spiritual leadership, it doesn't have to be big. Spiritual leadership does not mean you're John MacArthur, okay? Spiritual leadership can be just as small as just ministering to one person. And it's not a reciprocal relationship. And he's constantly pouring into that, okay? It begins there, okay? Small group leader, that kind of thing also as well, okay? Of the guy, if you're parents of the guy, do you see your children leading? And can you help them further along, okay? I know parents today, we're in Asian context, people want their kids to do some kind of leadership, but it's mainly to get credits to go to college. To say, hey, I want my sons and daughter go to Harvard. Right, because it's hard, right? And then you just say, oh, go be a Mac Club president, right, or whatever else, or something easy. But you want to go beyond just with just checking points. You want to raise them to be leaders for life, okay? Including area of their spiritual life. So I would encourage you guys, even when you guys have kids, don't be like, oh, I need to take my kids to Boy Scout. And then it says Boy Scout on Sunday or church on Sunday. Then you take Boy Scout. Because it's another extra thing that, because church, the pastor's going to write a reference anyway for my kid, because, you know, whatever, that's crazy talk, okay? So realize that, okay? Realize the opportunity. I would actually say of all those things done, the thing, even more than the court, is actually the church. has taught me to be a servant leader more than anything else. Okay? You can serve in the church as an all-volunteer force, yes? I know they say the military is all-volunteer, but it's all-volunteer, but it's paid. All-volunteer is not drafted. But in church, if someone don't want to be there, they don't have to be there, right? You can't force them, right? You know, people can say, I'll show up. No, I won't show up. Hey, you just got to learn to roll with whatever force you have, right? Whatever casualty you take on the way, we just have to accomplish the mission, okay, by the grace of God. But that, all that is to say, work on that, okay? Raise men to be leaders of the church, because that's going to be the future for parents. I hope you guys desire that. You know, not necessarily a pastor, but a leader in the church, lay leader, okay? Let me stop at this point. Is there any questions?